chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. We began a couple of weeks ago with the final thoughts of this book. And I mentioned last week that part of those final thoughts were three verses, very quickly, 16, 17, 18, and it was as though that was some standing orders. That was the way one preacher described it. We're to be good soldiers of the cross, and we have orders that are given to us. And what was that? Well, last week I preached on rejoice evermore. Tonight I'm going to be looking at the second of the three, and that is pray without ceasing. I miss some of the prayer warriors that we've had at this church. Have you ever known of someone and it just seemed as though they were able to just pray better? They're just able to, it seems as though, get a hold of the horns of the altar. A few days ago, I was looking at some pictures that I had taken in one of the trips to Israel. And we were over close to a place where Isaac's well had been dug. And there was an altar that was there it was a replica of the one that was in the Old Testament. And it was about 4 or 5 feet wide, 4 or 5 feet in length. It was about 4 feet, 4.5 feet tall, but on each corner. And supposedly one went north, one went south, one went west, and one went east. There was horns that was on the altar. And as I was looking at that picture again, with a lot of other ones as well. I mean, I've got over 3,000 pictures that I took. I mean, I was averaging 1,000 pictures each trip. But I was looking at that altar, and all I'm thinking is, when people would come to that altar in those ancient times, that's where the term taking hold of the horn of the altar comes from. We use that as a figure of speech today. We talk about things like, I'm going to hold on to the horns of the altar. I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to go to the throne room of God. And we have all of those figures of speech, but if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know exactly what those things mean. And when I think about people that could hold to the throne room of heaven, or hold on to that horn of the altar, if you want to use that figure, there are people that I can think of in my past. One of them that I just absolutely, I think about this lady often. I mean often. Every week I think about this lady. I mentioned her husband and her daughters a moment ago. I mentioned Vern and I mentioned Heather. Well, Vern's wife was a lady named Dee Cundiff. And Dee Cundiff was a faithful, faithful Christian lady. And then she got sick, and she was in a wheelchair until it was time to go to bed, and then she had to have help to get into the bed. And she was that way for years. She struggled to breathe, and she could not talk as clearly as I'm talking tonight, or as clearly as you talk tonight. When she would speak, it would be, Brother Tommy, I love you. I pray for you every day. And you could look in her eyes and you knew that was true. And I miss Dee Cundiff telling me that. Now, it blesses my heart when I have people in the church and they say, we pray for you every day. I love that. I love it whenever I'm out. I came across the lady the other day, and she said, I watch you and your wife every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. And she said, and I pray for you. A few days ago, I sent a lady that's a member of the church. They live in another city now. They have never joined another church. They're still members here. I sent her a birthday greeting saying, I prayed for you this morning, and I hope that you have a great birthday. And I do that for anybody that I have on my phone. I whisper a prayer for them when I first get up in the morning, and sometime during the day, I'll shoot them a little text if I have a phone number for them. And she sent me back a message, and she said, we pray for the church, and we pray for you every day. And I thought, that's good. That is good. And so when I think about people that are able to reach heaven, you know, when we go through fires, when we go through deep water, and we need prayer for ourselves, you want somebody that's not going to say flippantly, yeah, I'll pray for you, but you really don't know if they will or not. And often when I have people ask me, would you pray for me? I'll say, well, why don't we just pray right now? And that way, they know that I'm going to intercede for them. And so, as we think about this tonight, do you think about somebody right now that maybe is a prayer warrior in your life? Was it your mama? Was it your daddy? I don't know that, Miss Jeannie, I don't know if I ever talked to your dad in life, but I remember watching him multiple times in that movie, Sheffy. And when we were at your home, you and Brother Carl had lunch with you not long ago, and you showed me that little lambskin. That reminded me of when he would have that lambskin laid out on a log, and he would be there, and he'd be spending time in prayer. And that's what Sheffy would do. He would just go out into the woods, and he would pray and spend time with his Heavenly Father. And I've often thought, you know, there are some good people that the world knows nothing about, but they walk with God. They pray. They spend time with the Lord. And when you and I become the Christians that we ought to be, we will be prayers. We will be prayers. We won't just peripherally pray. We literally will be staying in contact with the Lord. Now, when I look at our text, look with me at verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. How do you do that? When it just gives us the order, pray without ceasing, does that mean that you can't ever go to sleep? Does that mean that you don't get to go to work? Does that mean that you never leave the house? No, it does not mean that at all. That would not even be feasible. That would not be a reality. So when it says to pray without ceasing, it has to mean something other than constantly verbalizing. And as you look at this, I think that there are several things that you can think about it. You can think about the meaning of this. When I look at the meaning, I think of something that is to be without an intermission. When I was a kid growing up, I used to hate intermissions at things. We would have school plays, and they would say, "Well, we've got an intermission," and I'm thinking, "Forget that." I didn't even like halftime in football games. I wanted to go from the second to the third quarter because I was already ready to go. I didn't need to sit there for 15 or 20 minutes and cool down and then have to crank it up again. And so when you think about praying, you think about doing that without some type of intercession, or not intercession, but intermission. And so I want us to learn to pray persistently, consistently. It's something that's always reoccurring. We don't get to pray for a day and then say, well, we don't need it again until next week. And so we look at the examples that we have in the Bible. We can look at the example of Christ. Often he spoke about prayer. Often he showed us how to pray. He would go off himself as an example and pray. And he would spend time with the Lord. The Gospel of Luke gives us multiple examples that Christ was a man of prayer. Luke 3:21, Luke 5:16, Luke 9:18, and then Luke 9:28. And when you see that, you not only see that Christ was a man of prayer, but that he taught his disciples to pray. Again, you could go to Matthew and the Lord's Prayer, or you could go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11, and you could see that in verse 2 through 4. He says things like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I preached the whole series on each one of those little phrases a year and a half or 2 years ago now, I think it is. Just a whole series on the Lord's Prayer. And so he taught us to pray. We're even told in the Bible what to pray about. What are we told to do? Well, we're told to make intercession for people. We're to pray for one another. And whenever I say for one another, I think that we pray for the people that are in our church. But also we are commanded to pray for other Christians that are in other places. Do you know, I have watched this, and you know, we don't really hear a lot about it with our media. But there are some websites that keep up with what happens in the Middle East. There are some websites that keep up with what's happening in the continent of Africa. And did you know that as far as martyrdom is concerned, that in 2019 there were more martyrs that year than any other year in history? There are times when you have Muslim countries and they will allow Islamic radicals to line up 40 or 50 Christians on a beach, and they'll behead all of them, and no one's ever held accountable for that. And the only crime is that they will not worship Allah, they love Jesus. And yet, as a Christian, we're commanded to pray for them. We're commanded to pray for leaders in the church. We're commanded to pray for our nation. Somebody said, well, you know, when you don't like the president, what do you pray about? I pray that he'll get saved. That's what I prayed for years and years, years ago. Pray that he get saved. I'm probably going to have to pray that same thing. You say, do you think that I haven't given up on the election, but I know Brother Doug prayed about that a moment ago, but you know, but if it does happen the way that it seems, will I pray? Yeah, I will. And I'm going to pray that he'll be saved. You say, well, he already says he's a Christian. You can't be a Christian and kill babies. You can't be a Christian and subscribe to the alphabet group. There's some lines that you can't cross. There's Rubicons that you can't cross if you're going to be a Christian. And so we are commanded to pray for those that are in authority over us. We're commanded to pray for our society. And then we're supposed to be salt in our society. We're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Did you know that Jerusalem, in its 3,000-year history of under the Jewish leadership, you know, it was not always a Jewish city. It was a Jebusite city. And David conquered that city. And what he had was Joab and a couple other guys, and they went up through a water shaft and got into the city, and they conquered the Jebusites, and then Jerusalem became the capital city for the nation of Israel. And for 3,000 years, that city has been the Jewish capital, but there's been all types of attacks. Jerusalem has been conquered 18 times in the last 3,000 years. 18 times. And so we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're supposed to pray for widows and orphans and poor people. You know, we've got a Christmas offering going right now. I pray about the orphans offering almost every day. I want it to be something that honors the Lord. I like it whenever we're able to do things for our widow people, our widow ladies. Now, we can't always do what they want, you know. We can't pay for them to get their house re-roofed, you know. But the things that we can help them with, we'll do that. And then the biggest thing I think that we ought to pray about is evangelism. We ought to pray that God will give us the opportunities that will come our way that we can share the gospel with people. That's why we want to maybe do the parade. That's why there's a possibility of maybe a nativity scene out front a couple of nights late in December. So there's a lot of things to pray about. Paul was an example of praying. Not only Jesus, but Paul. Let's look here in our epistle here. Look with me at chapter 1. Look at verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering in our prayers, we're remembering without ceasing, without an intermission. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, consistent, reoccurring, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So even right here in our little epistle, we see that Paul is an example for these people to pray. We could go to Romans chapter 1. We could go to Ephesians chapter 6. And both of those places, he's praying for the Roman church. He's praying for the church at Ephesus. But we're close by this. Flip forward in your New Testament, and I want you to go over to 1 Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look with me at verse number 3. He says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing, without an intermission, it reoccurs, that I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, when we understand that Jesus was a prayer, Paul was a prayer, and we understand what praying without ceasing means. It means to not have that interruption. How does that happen? Well, let me give you a picture, a word picture that you can visualize this. All right? How many of you have a cell phone? Almost everybody, okay? On that cell phone, there is a feature. And if you will touch it, you can talk on a speaker. It's a speakerphone. There are times when I'm at home, and if I'm out in my shop or if I'm in the house and I'm doing something else, there's times when I just simply touch that speaker button and I can hear it without having to hold it to my ear. Well, when I hold that speaker button or push it and turn it on. I can walk anywhere in the kitchen, but I'm still talking to the person that I've called or that has called me. But you know, one of the things that happens when you're done with a conversation, you hit that red button, at least it's red on my phone, and it cuts the communication off. But have you ever had anybody and your phone rang and you could hear them, but they didn't know that the line was open? Some people call that a blessed assurance dial. You see people and they stick it in their back pocket, and all of a sudden your phone rings and you're thinking, hello? And there's nobody on the line. There's been times when Deb has hit the wrong button, laid her phone down, then it rings my phone, I pick it up, and I'm going, hello? And she's not there on the phone. I can hear her walking around. I may be hearing her talking to one of our kids or saying something to a grandkid. And I get my phone up close to my face like I'm eating it, and I'm going, hey, listen here. Pick up the telephone. And I'm trying to communicate, but you know what she's done? She's opened a line of communication that she don't even know about. Well, do you know what you could do? You could have that line of communication, and you could walk over to this cabinet or walk over to the sink or walk over to the kitchen and get back on your laptop or whatever you're doing. And all that time, you can just talk about anything. Do you know that's what I visualize about prayer? I visualize that there is no intermission. I can be driving my truck, but I'm not bowing my head. But at the same time, Lord, I need you to help me with this today. Lord, would you show me what your will is for this morning? Would you guide this family in what they've got to decide? And I'm doing that while I'm driving 45 miles an hour down 78 Highway. You say, well, I just don't think you can pray that way. Sure. And I tell you when you can pray better. When you're on 285 going 80 miles an hour. You pray better out there than you can going 45. You know, you can lay in your bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and you can just whisper prayers to the Lord. You know why? Because that communication is open. And as we communicate with the Lord, what are we doing? We're praying without ceasing, and we just keep short accounts with the Lord. That's a phrase that I use a lot. Keep short accounts with the Lord. Now, I want to give you three things, and I'll be done. But I want you to just maybe jot these down. And if we are praying consistently, if we're praying and keeping the communication open, I want you to remember this, that we have access to the throne room at all times. Now, that needs to be a truth that you remember your whole Christian life. Sometimes a little Catholicism creeps into Baptist people. And they'll say something like this, you know, I've really got a problem coming up, and preacher, I need you to pray for me. Well, if you prayed about it, well, no, I need you to. Well, you need to pray about that as well. Now, I don't mind making intercession for you. I don't mind praying on your behalf. But don't think that I've got any more pull with God than you do. In Catholicism, you've got to go through the priest, or you've got to go through the Virgin Mary. Sometimes they'll try to go through some person that's been given sainthood. But in reality, If you're a Christian, you have direct access. When you're talking to the Lord, boom, you go right there. And you don't have to have somebody to do it for you. Now, it's wonderful when you intercede for me. I covet that. And I want to intercede for you, and you should covet that. But you and I need to make sure that we always know that the Lord is just as close as a prayer. Just as close. We say, "Dear Lord," his ear's there. "Our Father," there's a smile. You say, "Why is that?" Because the Lord delights in hearing our prayers. It's almost as though when you come to the throne room, he says something like this: "Come on in. Stay as long as you want. Tell me about your family today. Tell me about your friends. What kind of burdens you got today?" And we can go to the throne room of God and we can share the heartaches. We can share those things that we think we're about to be crushed by. And the Lord hears that because we have access. Now, why do we have access? There's only one reason. It's because we have peace with God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Those that are in Christ, we have peace with the Lord. Romans teaches us that. And so, I don't have to make intercession for you unless you want me to. You can do that yourself. Just think about that telephone line being open. And so, there is an access that you and I have. At the old church, we moved the offices to the pastorium. And some of you older folks may remember that. And we took the bedrooms, and the far bedroom on the left was Brother Don's office. The one on the right was Daryl. Then the carport was where my office was at. And we enclosed the end of it and put a walk-in door there. And if you were sitting at my desk, you could hear what was coming up the sidewalk just outside of that wall. And I can't tell you the number of times that I would be sitting there, maybe talking to someone, and I would hear one of my three kids or all of those three kids coming down that sidewalk in front of that office. They would jump up over the little brick ledge that was there, and they would hit that door that went right into my office. They would hit that door. They didn't knock. Just boom, right through that door. And if I had somebody in there, they'd be like deer in the headlights. But do you know why they didn't stop and knock? Because that was Dad's office. We don't have to stop. Hey, we can go see him anytime we want to. And that's our Heavenly Father. We have access. We have access to the throne room of heaven. And so, when we can pray without ceasing, there is implied there that if we can do that, that means that we can go and we can meet with our Heavenly Father. Let me give you a second thing. Not only do we have access, but we have acceptance if we're holy. Now, I want that to be a real important thing that you remember. Now, I've got a bottle of water right here, and it's a nice, clear bottle of water. But if I had this water sitting there and somebody came by and put some dirt in it, shook it up, and it turned an off color, There's not a chance, no matter how dry my throat got, there's not one chance in a thousand that I would take that water and turn it up and drink it because there was something dirty in it. Our prayer lives need to make sure that they're holy. Our lives need to be holy. Turn with me, hold your place here in Thessalonians, and turn with me to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Look with me at verse 3 and 5, or 3 through 5. This is a psalm of David. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Look with me at Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. All right, go over to the New Testament. And let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere. You're at work, you're in an attitude of prayer. The phone line's open. You're driving, phone line's open. You're sleeping, phone line's open. And when you nudged in the middle of the night, talk to the Lord. But he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Don't be doing things deceitful. Don't be doing things that transgress the commands of the Lord. Don't do things that are going to cause you to not be in fellowship with God. Because if you do that, then the acceptance is going to be hindered. Now, you say, well, if I have my acceptance hindered, how do I get that fellowship back? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will come to God and confess. What does the word confess mean? It doesn't just mean to speak, even though it's a part of it. It has the idea to admit the wrong, to agree with God that it's sin. Dear Lord, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? I confess that. I agree with you. I admit my sin. And Lord, I need my fellowship back. And if we will do that, then we can have holy hands that we can lift up without wrath. In other words, if we are in fellowship with God, we're not going to be angry people. We're not going to be wrathful individuals. And we're going to have an assurance knowing that if we are walking with God, that we have access. And so we have acceptance when we look at our prayer life if we are praying without ceasing. Let me give you a third thing. We have assistance when we need it. We have assistance. There are times when I just don't know the exact words to say. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'm sure you've probably been in the same place where I've been, where that you are just at your wit's end, and you just think, I know I ought to pray, but I'm out of words. Well, inside of you, one of the persons of the Godhead dwells. It's the Spirit of God. And when you got saved, whether that was a week ago or 50 or 60 years ago, the Spirit of God moved inside of you, and now you are the temple of the Lord, and you have the Holy Spirit inside. Now you can quench him, and if you do that, then there's a problem with the holiness. You can hurt the Holy Spirit by the things that you say and the things that you do. But I want you to notice what the sweet Spirit of God does for God's people. Look with me at verse 26 and 27, and then we'll also read 28. Likewise, the Spirit, and notice there's a capital S there, so that is the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, what is an infirmity? It is our limitation. If a person is physically infirmed, that means they are limited in what they are able to do at the moment. And when we have infirmities, the Spirit of God helps us. And now I know that this is in reference to prayer because of the next phrase. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There are times when I just absolutely do not know what to pray for. Now, there are some things that I know is easy to pray for. I can take this prayer bulletin, and there's probably around 200 or plus names that are requests that are on this prayer bulletin. Sometimes it may drop under it a little bit, but most of the time it's over 200. And I can pray for every one of those things. But there are times when I begin to pray for specifics in people's lives, and I don't know what to pray for. And so the Spirit of God begins to help me. And he says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So you've got the Spirit of God, and when you are so burdened that you just lose the words, the Spirit of God just takes over, and he begins to give utterances in heaven on your behalf. So we have an assistance that's there. It says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. What that means to me is that when we're praying, we're wanting the mind of the Spirit, or another way to say it, we want the will of God. And if we will do that, then we know what? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We want the will of God for our lives. I think it was yesterday, Pam and I were talking, and I think Brother Ricky came in, and he got in on the conversation, and we were praying, and how that when things are on our minds and on our hearts, we pray for the Lord's will, but we want the Lord's will to be what our will is. You know? In other words, Lord, we're praying for your will, but if it could be what I want, that'd be good. But yet, the spiritual thing is, Lord, thy will be done, not mine. Now, I'm sure you've probably had those same thoughts. I can think of some things right now. Lord, I want your will in this situation, but it'd make me a whole lot happier if it agreed with mine. But you and I need to realize that it's the Spirit of God that makes that intercession for us. And when he begins to make those utterances, the will of God is communicated, and all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Now, I don't pretend to be a prophet. I don't pretend to be the son of a prophet. I have no idea what's going to happen 6 months from now any more than I think I know what's going to happen in the morning. Now, I've got some ideas about it in the morning, but 6 months from now, I don't know. But I'm telling you that the will of God is going to be good. I don't know if we're going to shut down in this country again, the way that it's looking, probably. But I'm telling you right now that ultimately there will be some good that comes from it. You say, well, preacher, what would that be? Well, do you know when people are scared about dying, they want to be ready to die? You know, when I got saved, I was just a teenager. But I knew I was on my way to hell, and I thought I was going to be going on one of the next few loads. And when I was thinking about that, the Spirit of God convicted me of my sin. And I thought, I got to get this straight. And I trusted Christ. And there are people out there right now, and some of them are literally scared to get out of the house. Now, as a Christian, I don't understand that, because I don't think that we ought to operate with the spirit of fear. We have a trust in our Lord. The Lord is in control, and there ought to be a faith aspect to our lives. If we're going to please God, we've got to do it by faith. Abraham pleased God. Why? He was a man of faith. And so when we're living without prayer, there's not a confidence. Oh, but when we're kneeling and we're praying, dear God, I want to thank you that I can go to sleep tonight and not be anxious. I thank you, Lord, that if I wake up at 3 o'clock and need to get a glass of water, I can talk to you at 3, that you're not already, you know, you're not sleeping, because you don't sleep, nor do you slumber. And so there is an assistance that takes place. We have access, we have acceptance, and we have assistance. And when we think about praying without ceasing, just leave the phone on speaker. Just get up in the morning. Well, thank you for a good night, Lord. I'm gonna get me a cup of coffee, and I'm going to talk to you some more if that'd be okay. Lord, I want to thank you for that chapter out of Proverbs that I read this morning. Lord, that was good. And you know, part of praying, part of it sometimes is praying the scriptures. Have you ever done that? Lord, I want to thank you that your name can be hallowed. I want to thank you that you give me my daily bread. I want to thank you that you lead me not into temptation. You deliver me from evil, and I thank you for that, Lord. And you can just simply take a verse of scripture, take one of the promises of God that's directed at the child of God, and you just simply pray that. Just pray the scripture. And if you'll do that, then you can pray without ceasing. Ask you a final question. Can you think of someone right now, when they died, that you remember them as a man or woman of prayer? Okay, I see Miss Aline's head nodding. Okay. Miss Aline, you want to share who that was?
I'm bad on names right now.
So. Okay, all righty. Okay. I can tell you one that came to the church years ago, Miss Mary Walraven. That woman used to pray. Eloise Tidwell, she used to pray. Miss Tidwell. I think about D. Cundiff. We've got a lady that still attends this church, Gail Green. You know, I've not known Miss Jeannie long, but I believe that she's a praying woman. You know, had one of our men tell me, said, you know, she never says anything, but she prays every day. She gets by herself and she spends time with the Lord. And that lady, Charlotte MacArthur, and she prays for me. I believe that we've got other ladies like Miss Melba, Miss Sandra. I think those ladies are prayers. And if I'm not calling all the names tonight, that's not a slight on you if you're a prayer. God knows that. And I think that we've got some men in this church that are prayers. I really do. I think that that when I think about people that have died, and I think about their prayer life, I'll give you one specifically. And he and I were not close personal friends. We were acquaintances, but he was friends with Brother Don. He was a pastor slash evangelist. His name was Sammy Allen. Sammy was a preacher. He was from the country, Resaca, Georgia. Now, if you going up 75 north, going toward Chattanooga, if you close your eyes at the wrong time, you're going to miss that exit. But he was from Resaca, Georgia. Two different times, Brother Don called him to talk to him, maybe to invite him to come preach. In the morning, he would begin praying. Now, if you call me at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'll probably answer my phone. But Sammy didn't answer his phone. And he gave his wife instructions, unless it's an emergency, do not interrupt me. Brother Don called Sammy twice in the mornings. And his wife said, Brother Don, is it an emergency? And he said, well, no, it's not. He said, well, if it's not an emergency, can I just take your number and have Sammy call you back? Because he spends the mornings in prayer. That don't happen a lot, folks. Now, we're probably guilty of prayerlessness as maybe the greatest sin in Christianity. Probably is. But we are commanded to pray without ceasing. When I take my last breath, I hope one of the things that I will be known for is that he could get a hold of God. He has prayed and God answered. And it's not because of the words. It's not because of anything special. But that I'm a man that just simply believes that God can do anything that he wants to do and he gets the glory for it. But I want to be known as a man that prayed. I want you to be known as a Christian that was a prayer. Pray without ceasing. Let's stand together. I thank you for being here tonight. I hope that you'll be careful as you